Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Judgment Day splitting up. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Dan Layton.
Hello.
Because Luke's DAD on holiday. Luke DAD is on holiday. I'm filling in. And he's always complaining about Raw. Every Tuesday, I'm like, Luke, how was Raw? And he goes, well, you know, like when NXT used to be booked by Triple H, that. It's a bit boring week to week. It's the pay-per-views that matter. And here I am. I come in, random Raw to review. Absolutely banging show.
Plot twist. It absolutely slapped today.
It was great.
Yeah.
Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, WWE Raw Review. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button. Give us a subscribe. Leave a comment down below with your thoughts on this episode of Monday Night Raw. And send in those Ultra Chats.
Ultra Chats.
You know what? My head went Oosie.
No, that's a different show.
That's SmackDown. Then it went Omega.
Yeah. We need one. Hmm. Which, if by the end of the episode, if you'd like to pick one for Raw, if you'd like to assign one for Raw,
Natala Chats.
Oh, I'll take it. He will hate that.
Luke, get in.
Get me Natalia Chats. Natala Chats.
Get in those Natala
Chats. Natty Chats.
Natty Chats.
Ultra Nats. We've done it.
Ultra Nats.
Get in your Ultra Nats.
You're now so far away from the original word we were riffing off of. It makes no sense.
Get in your Ultra Nats.
Super Chats.
About the show.
Ultra Nats. Get in those Ultra Nats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them over $5 before the end of the show. But we're going to start off talking about the bookends of the episode, the opening segment and the main event, which were in typical WWE template style, entwined. Mm-hmm. And they were really, really interesting.
Yes, that is exactly the word I would use. Yes. Please.
Oh, I thought you were going to elaborate.
No, I was just waiting for you to tell us what happened.
I'll run down what happened. So Seth comes out to open the show. I described him as being dressed like his world heavyweight belt.
Okay. Because he's
all gold.
Yeah.
I'm calling it the world consolation weight belt as well.
It's the world consolation prize.
And he said how a world title hasn't been defended on Raw for 2 years. Mm. So he's going to start being a fighting champion, which is great.
The point of the belt, yeah.
Yeah, great idea. Yeah. That's what Rollins did in that Intercontinental title run back in the day. Do you remember that one when he really started Monday Night Rollins?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did do that. Yeah.
I went back to look on that period because I was like, was it because he lasted really long in the Royal Rumble? Mm. But it wasn't. It was a gauntlet match on Raw.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, my God, this guy's great again.
Yeah.
After the sort of injury and botched babyface return period he had.
And he also had to put up with the Fiend stuff. Wait, was this before or after that?
The Fiend stuff was like a year and a half after.
Oh, God. What an interesting run Seth's had.
Yeah, he's gone up and down.
Because he had the whole bit where he won the Universal title and then kind of got stale because he turned into Becky Lynch's boyfriend instead of anything of note.
He was a cult leader for a while.
He was a cult leader.
Of whom Authors of Pain were disciples.
Were they?
I know. Hey, Austin Theory was part of that faction for like two whole weeks.
This was during the pandemic, wasn't it?
Yeah, everyone was losing their minds.
Half of it I've decided was just I was a bit crazy. And,
it's out of continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canon.
So it's good that, you know, this is good. As we've seen with Orange Cassidy and the TNT title on Dynamite or John Cena's run, you know, hopefully he can just like every week or every other week There's a great match with someone.
Nothing says more legitimate than wins. And wins and losses matter in my world still. So I feel like, you know, coming out defending the title, almost losing it but keeping it, that legitimizes you. And that's why Gunther, as the Intercontinental Champion for so long, is successful, because he's kept the belt in a bunch of really banging matches. So
in WWE style, really, the answer is moderation.
Right.
You have it somewhere between the two, where it's mostly defended on pay-per-view, but a few times a year it's on TV. But they've got one belt that is never defended.
Yeah.
So they've got this other belt that they have to defend all the time.
All times, yeah.
Which will, you know, it will cheapen it over the long run, but that's the bed they've made for themselves. So his first opponent is Damian Priest, who comes out with Finn Balor when Seth mentions his name. And Damian's like, I don't need Judgment Day. I can beat you. I think you deserve it. It was being a bit babyface.
Yeah, what's interesting is that they came out already as a broken unit. They came out without Dominic and Rhea, where we're used to seeing them come out all four. But they came out on this one completely, just the two of them. And Seth is goading... It's interesting you say that he's playing a bit babyface, because Seth is almost healing it up a little bit.
I don't like him.
In that you don't like this character at all, do you? It's the sort of tweener element that I kind of vibe with.
There's nothing tweener about it for me.
No, it's just full heel.
It's just an obnoxious twat.
Don't disagree. But it kind of works. And also, I want his wardrobe. But he's sort of needling and making a point of saying, like, you don't do well against me. They've made a point of this shoulder a lot over the past few weeks. Which would lead you to believe that Finn is his first big program. They sort of goading him into saying, like, you need the Judgment Day, you always need the Judgment Day. Where are Rhea and Dom? Are they off doing their own thing? Like, what? And then, Priest just says, I don't need him. You know what? You'll get just me. So, let's do it. And Finn gives a bit of...
It's more than that.
Okay.
He gives a big scrunchy Irish.
He gives
face.
A bit of.
Thank you. That is pretty good.
I'm an actor.
Obviously, very, very small teases, but it is, you know, we've done wrestling before.
Yep.
We know how these things play. That is a seed that's been sown.
There is no subtlety in WWE.
Either it's one that is actually a red herring and someone else gets kicked out of the group, or another person joins, or they forget about it.
Which would be super interesting as well, because I think the Judgment Day have been really effective, personally.
And, like, considering where they started, Edge's supernatural jobbers.
Yeah.
And they are one of the most overacts in the entire company, both collectively and individually. But Finn is the odd man out, I think.
This is interesting because they've never had a leader, the Judgment Day. It's never, except for Edge. But now once Finn joined in, it was very much just the four of us, and they'd all have equal time on the mic, and they'd come out to their collective music, but they'd still each have individual music. And what was interesting here was this idea that Finn didn't like Damian sort of stepping above his station. There was something in there that was a little bit like, oh, hang on, you don't have the authority to make that choice.
I've always interpreted Balor as the leader.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I think it's more interpreting rather than the way it's fully projected. I think that is one of the subtle things about it, personally.
Well, I think that could play into where we're going to go next with this. Because there's a lot of focus being put on Damian's sort of... I don't like him as a babyface.
Damian.
Yeah.
Right.
Or at least how WWE present him as one. But he immediately goes one-dimensional.
Right.
And that, you know, that voice.
Yeah.
That's a heel voice.
A lot of babyfaces in WWE are that kind of level of one-dimensional, though, which is sort of part of the problem. It happened to Rollins a lot, which is why I think sticking with the same character he was when he was full heel in this sort of, like, organic face run, present company accepted, it works a little bit. I think Priest as a villain is such a good... He's so big.
Yeah.
And he's domineering and he can batter you and he looks great. And, like, he had... I think the work he did with Bad Bunny was brilliant.
It was a great heel there, yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got Damian Priest, you've got Rhea Ripley, you've got Dom. They are all, like, genuine breakout stars who have been really elevated by Judgment Day.
And we'll get to Dom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Later on. And Rhea's, you know, most followed TikTok star.
More than Tom Hanks.
Yeah. WWE just... Well, how can we be relevant? Let's compare ourselves to all these
WWE
things.
WWE really said, go yourself, Tom Hanks. Yeah. They really did.
Well, no one likes Tom Hanks.
famous villain, Tom Hanks.
Although, maybe not in Elvis. Terrible casting.
Awful. Weird. But, you know.
But there's Finn Balor. And I would say he feels exactly the same.
Right. That's interesting.
In terms of the Judgment Day split. So, I'll run down what happened in the main event as well. It's Damian Priest versus Seth Rollins for the consolation belt. And it was really good.
It was.
Really good match. But the most interesting thing was the finishing sequence where the outside, I think Damian's on the apron and Seth uses that to get right in between his legs.
Yeah.
And powerbomb him.
I hated that video so much.
That's what he did.
He did.
Poked his head up between his thighs. Gonna powerbomb you.
Don't do it again. Stop doing it.
And he powerbombs Damien into the barricade. Mm. And all of a sudden, you're like, well, that's the spot that injured Finn Balor 2016 for that Universal Championship inaugural belt. Of course, Finn won, but he had to relinquish the title the following day.
And crucially has never had a world championship.
Killed him.
NXT since. He had the NXT title, but he never won the world championship again, which I think is a really interesting nugget to this story.
Yeah. So when that happens, Priest starts selling the shoulder. Mm-hmm. That's the same injury. The torn labrum, I think it was.
Yeah.
And
that rings a bell.
Then Finn appears at that moment. So this is definitely thought out. Mm-hmm. This is not coincidence. Finn appears. He goes to attack Seth. Seth super kicks Finn. Mm-hmm. Finn's like, doesn't actually distract Damien or do anything bad apart from trying to support his mate, I interpret it as.
Yeah.
Seth gets in the ring. Damien's had a bit of time. Chokeslam, near fall. Damien gets up. Ow, my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Looks at Finn. What are you doing here? Turns around. Seth, something, stomp, win. Mm-hmm. And then Finn stares down Damien afterwards.
Mm. And that's the closing sort of image we get.
So I feel like there's a lot of stars that have aligned here. One of them being Finn beat Seth in the Genesis stages of one championship. Mm-hmm. Seth beat Finn in the Genesis stages of
this new
championship in the tournament. Rubber match.
Mm, interesting. I think it's really the what was also kind of curious about the whole match was that a lot of the time Priest had Seth's number. A lot of the time Seth was jumping off something and he got a big old uppercut. Mm-hmm. Or there was that great table spot I loved, which is where Seth's going with something on the table and Priest just goes, no, Simon slaps him on the table. And he was looking great in it. He hit a lot of his big moves. And then you're right, it's nothing out of the ordinary for the Judgment Day to be able to come in and sort of like help each other out. There was nothing different about it. And in fact, he didn't really make any impact in the match whatsoever. It was Priest going, hang on, what's that caused him to lose the match? But he did lose it clean. Like, there was no physical interference. So, arguably, Priest is now at the bottom of the chain. If Finn is the next answer to this apparently rolling open challenge, do you use that as a way to sort of cause further dissension between the bloodline? You know, whatever. Because would you have the belt on Rollins for a while? Or do you see Finn Rollins coming a long time from now?
You know what? It's, to be honest, I've not thought about it because it's not been a belt that I've been excited by.
No, I agree.
I felt like the World Heavyweight Championship, it's immediately hampered by not being the belt, one of the two belts Roman has. I know they're now combined.
That's a big gold belt.
It is a big gold belt. The tournament itself was very predictable.
Yep.
Seth won.
Yeah.
And because of there was all that malaise about it from me, I never really thought, well, where do they go with this? Mm. And I quite like the idea of Seth just doing loads and loads of title defenses. Mm-hmm. But then I also quite like the idea of Finn beating him at Money in the Bank.
Right.
And being the champion. Or maybe you keep the belt on Rollins because, here's my other bit of fantasy booking, Judgment Day turn on Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Just over a year after they turned on their last leader, Edge, who was holding them down.
Only a year ago?
Yeah.
Christ.
But like a year and a couple of weeks. So it could become like a Judgment Day annual tradition. I mean, the clue's in the name. We are a faction does a judgment day on one of us every year.
That's so interesting.
And you kick out Finn, who's the leader, just like Edge. Finn, like I said earlier, hasn't really elevated alongside the others, so he's the weakest link here, which is crazy.
And you could argue, if he loses the belt, or loses the championship match, Rhea has a belt, you know, so she's the leader. If there's a leader, it's Mommy, you know? That's interesting.
Plus, JD McDonagh.
Yeah, that's an extra little bit of spice. Because the idea was that we talked about it a few times, is that Finn is maybe going to bring him in. And there was supposed to be a segment with them last week that I believe got cut at the last minute. Is it that Finn was going to try and bring him in? Does Finn work separately with JD McDonagh? Does JD McDonagh replace Finn? Like, what's that one?
Well, it fits.
Mm.
Edge.
Irish.
They're Irish. They look very similar.
They're both from Bray County Wicklow.
Yeah. I mean, they look really similar.
They do.
but you've got... I'm trying to remember how the storyline went. Edge beat Finn Balor, and he was going to bring Finn Balor into the Judgment Day.
Mm.
Something like that last year. AJ Styles was involved as well.
Yeah.
But it was actually Finn who ended up replacing Edge.
Yes.
So you just run that back.
Yeah.
But this time it's not Finn. It's JD, going in as the junior role that Rhea Ripley, Dominic, and Damian are going to elevate.
Mm. I mean, that's a... I don't want to see Judgment Day go away.
That's the other thing.
I like their shtick. Mm-hmm. I'm into their deal. I hadn't really thought about it. I hadn't had the word until you said it, which is exactly that. Finn hasn't really been elevated. And Finn is the same Finn, as far as I'm concerned. Had great matches, is a fantastic wrestler, would like to see in main event program. But when I think of Priest's big moment at Puerto Rico, or I think of where Rhea Ripley has got and solidified herself, when I think of what Dominic has done with this opportunity, you're right. Finn hasn't had that moment. The argument, the contrarian point to make to you is that it's too perfect. It's too perfect and WWE will never go with it. But there is a perfect circle sorry, Finn, you ain't holding up your end of the bargain. That's curious.
Well, I think all the details are there, aren't they? They could go another way. Mm. You know, Finn could be cost the belt if he faces Seth at Money in the Bank. And that's a show where you don't need a fully, like a really big title match. You can use it to tell the story of Judgment Day. I'm just going to use it. Oh, you've got Ultra Chat.
The main event of the Money in the Bank absolutely is. What we're there to see are the Money in the Bank matches. So it's like the Royal Rumble. You need a challenger, but, you know, is it your big program? So why not?
Yeah.
Finn, I don't think Finn's going to be... He's not had a qualifying match, has he?
Raw isn't filled out yet.
No,
you've got LA Knight,
they've got Ricochet, Shinsuke. But he wasn't against Shinsuke Rick. So there's still a Raw spot for somebody.
It's got to be Dominic.
I don't think it's going to be Finn. Finn has availability in his calendar, something to do. You could do a lot worse, and you could build two storylines in there. Seth continuing to build this belt, and the Judgment Day in play.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which
is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Should we see what everyone thinks on the
Ultra Nats,
dear God. Ultra I think Nats. People aren't sending in chats purely because of that name.
We can try a different name. Which was yours? What was your pitch?
Natty Chats. Or
Natty Chats.
Ultra. What was it?
I said Ultra. You said Natala Chats is what you were going with.
And you said...
Hang on.
Natty Chats. Was it Natty Chats?
Natty Chats and then Ultra Nats is where we ended up. I like Ultra Nats.
Okay, let's stick with Ultra Nats.
Ketz Ultra Nat says, with Roman still being called the Undisputed Champion, it makes the World Heavyweight title more mid-card than when it was revealed. Mm-hmm. That unification match last year was not only boring, but also did more harm than good in the long run.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. It's just interesting because for me, it was one of those things of like, let's see what the belt looks like on a person. And now we have it, right? We have that belt on Seth. And I still think of Seth as a US title contender. I don't know if it's the character or if it's the fact that there hasn't been a program really yet.
Yeah.
But it him holding it still doesn't really feel real. And it's because we also have... We're kind of being sold the other one in a much bigger way.
I feel like Gunther is more prestigious.
I feel like Gunther is more prestigious.
On Raw. Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. And has had the matches to back it up. Yeah, I don't know what you do about that. And we have another one here from, I don't know how to say that, Tyrell Marcus, who says, I'm so excited for the watch party for Money in the Bank.
Oh, yes.
Came all the way from Tyrell, Australia.
Wow.
Just to be there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That is a long trek to come and join us for a Money in the Bank party, but tell us about the Money in the Bank party.
Yeah. So,
and why that's a good choice.
Well, we were both at the Night of Champions watch along. We were told by a sports bar, a place that has sport and events all the time, like the World Cup, like the Super Bowl, that we were the loudest audience they've ever had. 150 rabid screaming wrestling fans. We turned Night of Champions into a British indie show with just non-stop chants, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it again for Money in the Bank, even though Money in the Bank is across the road.
Oh, yeah. You get that extra sort of like the ripple effect, don't you?
But a lot of people said, well, I would prefer to come to this because it's like a close-knit, intimate community and vibe. So yeah, the tickets are already nearly sold out.
Mm.
So I don't really need to shill it.
I would call it the hottest ticket in town.
Yeah. So there's literally like 5 tickets left. So if you want to get your Money in the Bank watch-along ticket in the Long Arm Pub in Old Street, which is part of East London, we'll be there. Mm-hmm. We'll have a lot of fun. And there'll be 150 other people. Live Quizlemania. That's already sold out, though.
We were talking about this with Pete and I, where we're doing the Patreon mailbag, that FOMO with wrestling and the idea there's so much wrestling, what do you watch? It's not so much the shows or the matches that we get the FOMO of, it's the experience of watching it with people. If you don't usually watch wrestling with a lot of your friends, you will make friends at this party, come along.
Yeah.
The second you walk in the door, we're all one big mess of fans. And is one of the most unique experiences. Mm. Being in that room when Jimmy super kicked Roman.
Incredible.
Unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
So
really, really special. And it'll be for Money in the Bank as well, which will be insane. So if you haven't already, get your ticket. There should be a link somewhere on this page, maybe underneath, maybe in the chat.
Somewhere. You'll find it.
Tickets are going very fast. They're nearly sold. So act now. One more chat.
Yeah, one more chat. Ten Ruzza says, I agree with you, Ollie. Not attached to the WHC, but I have just realized that I have not had any connection to any of the titles after Mania, not even the IC title.
Oh, wow.
Finn and Shinsuke, please go back to Japan. Ange Postecoglou, I can't say this. I need to get there. Ange, the new manager of Tottenham. I'll get his surname. I will learn how. Postecoglou. Ange Postecoglou. I've done it. To Tottenham. Melbourne represent. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, it's a big Australia representation here. Mm. But yeah, it's interesting. Luke talks about this a lot, about the spinning of the wheels and waiting for it to kick. We just need to get through this. It is always this period where it's like, I'd like a little off season and kick things into gear. I thought Night of Champions was great. I am actually far more invested in the Raw Women's Championship now than I was beforehand, because we have a new one and the little parade of all the women on SmackDown was quite fun. So maybe Money in the Bank. Maybe we should get through Money in the Bank, guys.
I don't know what you're talking about. Raw was fantastic.
Raw was great this week. I had a great time.
Well,
this
I just
week.
Assume it's always this great.
Let's keep that being what you believe.
Right, so this episode of Raw, please keep getting in your
Ultranats
to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5 dollars.
Is Mod Mother with us today?
Should be, yeah.
Mod Mother, I've robbed Luke's earpiece here. Can we do a poll in the chat and see whether we prefer Ultranats or Natty Chats? Just a quick one. Just see what happens.
We had Seth, Damien, and Finn to kick off the show, which we already covered. Then we got Becky Lynch versus Sonya Deville.
I liked this match.
It was okay. Mm. When they came out, I was like, okay, Becky's going to win. Yeah, Money in the Bank qualifier. But they actually stacked the deck enough against Becky.
They did.
To make it a bit more interesting.
They did. Kevin Patrick said something absolutely foolish and nonsense and ridiculous, and I loved it and I hated it in equal measure. He said, and quote, thousands of Irish are already making their way to London to see Becky Lynch. Kevin, it's a month away. What are they, paddleboarding? If they were paddleboarding and walking from Liverpool, they still got a couple of weeks before they need to leave.
They're looking for work.
They really are.
Like the old days.
Yeah.
It sounds like Vince is producing them in his ear.
Yeah.
And Vince's vision of Irish people is that they are still with little flat caps.
Yeah. It's just
on
a small
big steamer
town.
Tugboats.
Yeah. Awful. Awful line. Loved it. But I like the Karen shtick. I like Chelsea Green getting involved. I thought that was fun. And I thought it's a decent match, but the running theme of the show is the crowd weren't making any noise whatsoever, which I thought let them down.
In the matches. Yeah, yeah. WWE crowd, isn't it?
That's
pop
true.
For the finish, yeah. Pop for music.
Yeah.
We had Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark appear on the ramp to give a slight distraction, but they never got involved, crucially.
Nope.
Becky won pretty handily in the end. But yeah, it had substance because it decided someone who goes into the Money in the Bank.
And it showed us that like there was a great section where Becky just kind of threw them both at the barricade and further the story with Zoe. I like the fact that we're going to get more of Becky and Zoe within the match. I think that was a smart choice to get them both involved. Because when they came out, I was worried there'd be an interference and I was not here for it. So,
yeah, the idea of Zoe Stark costing Becky
this
place because it'll be Becky versus Zoe Stark at Money in the Bank.
Oh,
and Becky
that.
Wins. Yeah.
Keep them both in it.
We got a recap of the excellent, excellent Bloodline segment from SmackDown.
Oh,
I can't even remember what
one.
What's Roman's line when he hugs him? He's like, we're not.
Not today or something.
Yeah,
not now, or
oh,
no.
So
I think
good.
He just said no. I wanted him to say, I love you, I'm sorry. I was so ready for a little, and then pushing backwards into a spike would have been, oh.
So that cuts to Byron Saxton backstage and he says, well, you know, someone who's really experienced with the Bloodline, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Let them escape. Let them escape. They've done it. They've won so many times now.
And Sami's just like, I mean, Jay's still not made his mind up. I think Sammy should now just be annoyed.
Yeah, Sammy's in Kevin's position. Mm-hmm. Where, you remember when Kevin was like, please let me get you out of the bloodline? So, like, he's just like, nah. He's not. If you're not going to help yourself, how am I going to help you?
So Imperium interrupt them and KO does that funny yelling thing that he did last week. I quite like it.
I quite like it. And I had a little something when we get into the match proper, but I call him Scrappy Doo Kevin Owens.
Yeah. That is what he's become, which worries me.
Mm.
You know, I really enjoyed last week's segment when Imperium came.
Yes.
I was like, you do not get to come out.
Yeah.
That was fun. But seeing him do it here again, still funny, but I don't want that to become his gimmick.
Mm.
Kevin Owens just used to say things to entertain himself.
Mm.
And I thought that's what it was.
Mm.
I don't want it to become Scrappy Doo Kevin Owens.
That's it. It can become a little bit tricky. But I think when you get into the match itself, there was something that was quite interesting in there for me. Mm.
Well, that immediately set up Gunther versus Kevin Owens. I thought we were going to get Kaiser versus Owens.
Yeah, me too.
Not this, what is effectively a dream match.
Yeah, I sat up straight away. I was like, hang on, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for the IC belt.
No.
But still, this is like a one of the four or five main events you could have on a pay-per-view.
I think we're getting this on free television. Yeah. Okay.
And they had a great match. Really good. Gunther dominated a lot. Yeah. Kevin Owens, despite Gunther dominating him, it wasn't like Ali, where Ali was ragdolling dead.
Mm.
Owens was always getting back up and trying to fight him off. You had Sammy on the outside looking distressed. Loads of German suplexes. Swanton bomb from KO, great near fall, but then the Imperium brawl starts happening on the outside. Kaiser gets in the ring, right in front of the referee. And the referee's like, this is fine.
you fight Kaiser.
Yeah. And Owens stunners him and turns around. Gunther rolls him up.
Mm.
Bad finish. But what was your little detail you thought?
Agree there. So my little detail, I rag on Kevin Patrick a lot, but Kevin Patrick actually made a good point in this match, which was that Kevin Owens' temper keeps getting the best of him. And I have thought this a few times. It's almost like he keeps jumping to anger and Sammy keeps trying to be like, no, chill, no, chill. And if Kevin's temper keeps getting the better of him, is that going to lead... In this case, he was cross and was distracted in a way that Priest wasn't in the main event, for instance. That's what led to him being able to be rolled up. Is that going to be a little storyline thing? Is it something to keep an eye on? Is that going to cause dissension between those two? Is there going to be an I'm so cross, I turn your back, and maybe his temper makes him lose the tag titles and Sammy turns? Because I think... I can't help but look at Sammy and Kevin and think, there's another main event picture.
Mm-hmm.
For all of the you know, Roman's hogging the titles and Cody should have won at Mania and the World Heavyweight Championship is a consolation prize, goodness me, we're stacked with main event stars, aren't we? I feel, with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Damian Priest and Finn Balor and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley. I think we've got such a roster of people. Gunther, you could do so many different things with them. So I was a bit curious to hear them mention this temper, which is something that I've spotted a few times over the past couple of weeks and go, now you've said it, it could become part of the storyline. That said, you are Kevin Patrick. You say a lot of things. And then, I thought the roll-up finish was a shame because I don't see why if Gunther slammed him or decked him and then got a normal cover and not run out of the ring. It's the same finish, and I think Kevin can take it. You know, it won't negatively affect his character. So the roll-up was a shame. Otherwise, I thought the match was really, really good.
I would have just, and I hate I'm saying this, a DQ brawl.
Really?
Yeah, I'd have had Imperium, Sami Zayn spill into the ring because I don't want Gunther to pin Owens. I think that's that if you're going to just suddenly do this match on TV, at least use it to build an actual match they can have. But I've seen Gunther pin, not clean, of course, but I did see him pin him.
I'm always much more inclined with a clean, with a finish than a DQ, because we had that run in the summer last year where it was every other match was a DQ, and I was like, what are you doing? Whereas, like, if Gunther absolutely batters you in the face and you knocked out for three, I think that's fair. So I think Gunther and Kevin Owens are the two people where that could actually kind of work, especially if he's been distracted by all those people. It's a mild bugbear for me, but not a big one.
On the Kevin Owens Sami Zayn relationship, because they're now back together, you can bet they are already thinking, well, how do we break up?
Right.
So yeah, maybe that is.
They love it.
You know what? Like in a couple of months' time, Sami actually goes to pull Kevin Owens off someone, and Kevin Owens turns around and accidentally batters Zayn. Owens is like upset. Zayn's like, well, this feels very much like the last relationship I was in.
That's a great idea. Yeah, because he's got like PTSD from the Bloodline. Mm. Yeah, that's
nice. Interesting. Nice. Spicy. But yeah, really good match. Crappy finish. It cuts backstage to Kathy Kelly, who's talking to Riddle. And Riddle is just like, out of nowhere, furious.
Mm.
Because Gunther cheated to win. Oh, I'm so angry. Kaiser and Vinci come up and say, well, don't talk about Gunther like that. And he Fs him up.
Oh, he really does, doesn't he? He proper threw him across.
He chucks Kaiser over some crates and then gets Vinci in this ankle lock that I think Vinci was crying in.
Yeah.
He sold it so hard.
He really did. I don't like Reefer Boy Matt Riddle at all. The bongos thing was a famous thing that I on the show was very cross about. I like intense Matt Riddle because this guy's a cage fighter, right? This guy's someone who I'm supposed to believe could snap me like a twig, you know? So having him literally launch Kaiser across the arena and then threaten to break Vinci's angle, and Vinci did sell it really well. Loved it. I was like, yeah, more of this, especially if we are going to get Gunther Riddle. I don't think Riddle's going to win it, but I'd like to believe that he could, you know?
I know what you mean, but I just feel like this segment started with Riddle at 11.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And then he finished at 11.
But if you, but it's Riddle. Riddle, do you remember that time Riddle? Do you remember that time Riddle did a promo with Asuka, completely forgot his lines and just skated away? It's Riddle. You're never gonna get a solid, like, decent build promo, are you? So you kind of got to get what you can take.
Speaking of great promos,
mm.
Oh, do you know who likes to party?
I absolutely do. In an empty room, it's Caden.
Caden Carter.
And Katana
and
Chance.
Katana Chance.
Yeah, they love to party.
They love to party so much that they say it in their debut appearance on Raw in a backstage segment with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. And then Corey Graves just continues to mention it on commentary.
These
two
they
girls love to party.
They just love to party.
I'm like, I hate you two.
It is interesting, isn't it? Because, like, I like these two a lot. I was fans of them in their tag title run. I think they've got some good stuff on the show. I think they've got a great look, each of them.
Blue.
But, well, yeah,
the look is
Caden Carter
blue.
In particular, I think, looks cool. Like, she's got the great hair, got the contacts, the piercings. I'm a big fan. Katana Chance looks a little bit like you saw Sorority Girl who went along for one rave and kind of thought that the music was nice and bopped about a little bit with a white round spritzer. But the heel levels of this promo of them, how much they like to party. I was like, I don't like either of you two. What is this about? This is weird.
It's kind of WWE's new, these two just like to have fun.
Really? Hey, Vince is back. He doesn't know what fun looks like.
So Shayna and Ronda, it starts off with them holding the belts. They said they want some opponents, and that's when Chance and Carter make their debut.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to make it, because we got a promo. Normally they take a week off. Mm. They came off and they said, hi, we're here.
They are, the height difference was stark.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Have you played, how much 2K23 have you played?
I don't think I'll ever play enough 2K23 to end up playing Katana Chance.
So I did, because I picked her on my GM, and I like to now and again just play one of the matches just to see what the entrances look like and get the movesets. It was stupid. She's this big on the game. It's not even like, I'm like, how? And then so I was like, she surely can't be this mini.
Mm.
And then she is.
Yeah.
She's a mini person.
But it worked quite well in the story. Mm. I thought this was going to be a squash match, if I'm honest. You know, Ronda and Shayna's
and
first
match. And I was sad about that.
Match.
I was like,
oh, you wanted it to just be a kill job?
No. I was sad about, I thought it was going to be a squash match. And I was sad about that it might be.
But actually, they told the story of Shayna and Ronda somewhat underestimating Katana and Caden. And the blues were, just hear Sullivan getting excited.
I just thought we could hear it running down.
Katana Chance and Caden Carter, like, their offense is amazing.
It's great, isn't it?
So flippy and fast. Mm. And they, you know, there was a 450 from Katana Chance here. Mm. I think it was a 450 stomp.
It's a finishing move. It's a double team finishing move where you kind of have her in the sort of like reverse DDT position. And I think it's not so much a stomp as it is, it's supposed to be a splash, but the rotation didn't quite make it.
On Ronda, and Shayna just broke up the pin.
Yeah.
And the crowd didn't believe it.
Mm.
I didn't believe it, but I did pop for it.
Right.
And, you know, 5 minutes earlier in that backstage segment, if you had me invested in this match, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
They like to party.
Mm. and you hate to party.
Yeah, but this was good stuff.
Mm. It's interesting because I for me, this is a perfect example of how you introduce a new set of stars, because these were the longest reigning NXT Tag Team Women's Champions. They are here. Ronda and Shayna, who cut a decent-ish promo, I thought, but have been speaking in the past week or so about how they basically demanded the opportunity to be a tag team IRL. I would like to have seen them be slightly more believable, realistic in the way they're speaking like that. But for them to come up and say, we'll take you on. You're talking about you want to legitimize this tag team division. You want to, well, let's, you know, fight us. We'll take it.
We like to party.
We love to party. And we'd like you to come to ours. And then to deliver a decent match. I don't think, it's like when you are a championship football club and you get promoted to the Premier League. You're not going to win the league in that first season. It would be unbelievable if you managed to do it. But you are a team who has a trophy. You did really well in that. But you're in the different leagues now. You were the NXT Tag Team Champions. Congratulations. You're in the big leagues now.
The major leagues.
It's the major leagues. It's the main roster. So, like, they should be able to take it to you and not quite meet the mark. The show was great. The showing was great. The moves were great. I thought Ronda and Shayna looked good as well. And we're trying to establish them as a dominant tag team. This was a really good use of these two teams and a really good match. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you want to establish the new champions while elevating the new stars. I felt like they juggled those opposing things quite well.
And one of the big things I wanted from the brand split was a commitment to the women's tag division. Mm-hmm. And we're getting it. And I liked it. I would like you do that more, please.
Johnny Gargano got a video package showing his time in NXT. It exists.
Which was better than his wife's video package from last week, which was cringe. Oh, Ollie, it was so cringe.
What happened?
Oh, you know how Caden Jansen, they like to party.
They like to party.
Well, Candice LeRae believes in fairies, basically. She was like, why do I wear these pixie wings? Because I believe fairy tales do come true. I'm living mine. Here are some primary colors. And I was like, I was so angry about it. I was not. This was what we should have got for Candice LeRae. I think it's like, you know, maybe a bit too little too late for Johnny Gargano at the moment, but he'll put on a good match and we'll all come back around.
He said the Gargano story is just getting started. We had a backstage segment with Ricochet, Bronson Reed, and Nakamura. Bronson Reed was like, I should be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Mm-hmm. And Ricochet pointed out, well, you lost a qualifying match.
You sort of had a chance to.
So Ricochet and Nakamura had a match. It's astounding how much Nakamura phones in these performances.
It is. Now that's interesting, because when this match started, I was like, oh, they're feeding the children this episode. Like we had Gunther and KO, you're giving me Ricochet and Nakamura. And maybe it's because Nakamura has phoned it in so often. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a great little match, little telly match between them.
I thought it was pretty basic and it didn't have a proper finish. I knew what was going to happen as well. I knew Reed was going to cause the DQ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's what happened a couple of minutes in. Reed runs them both over, hits a tsunami on Ricochet, and the crowd chant one more time.
And he goes, no, no. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I love Bronson Reed so much. I am such a fan. I love the way he knows how to hold his body, the control he's got. I love the whole, I'm just going to run through you thing. It works for me in a big way. And I love his character work as well. And I think we're seeing that on show for him to palm off the crowd, not just not pay attention to them. To hear, I hear your chants. You want more of this? You don't get it. Love that.
We had a really, I got a kick out of this. Chad Gable, Otis, and Maxine backstage. And of course, they're kind of feuding with Viking Raiders and Valhalla. I smell an intergender six-person tag. And they're going to train up Maxine.
Did you hear my little pitch for last week? I'm a big fan of Alpha Academy. I make no pretend. I want to push Chad Gable to the moon. Love, love, love. I am a big fan of this angle because what I want to happen is for Chad and Maxine to turn on Otis and go off on their own. And that's what Luke did as well. I love it. Isn't it good? Like the idea being, because last week we got this, we got this kick on Valhalla from Maxine and she looked at Chad and was like, I did it. And Chad went, yeah, you did. And it was like, great. Oh, and then she ran off. And that was kind of where the dissension here is. But Chad has his number one guy. And now he's about to get his number one gal. Because it was like Otis's idea to let them train together. And I kind of love the fact that Chad was like, I agree with that. I can't train you in that. And she's like, I've got the perfect outfit. And then they're going to go off and train together. And bit by bit by bit, she's going to go, actually, the one I want is... His literal name is Chad. Do you know? Like, I love it. I love this as a potential angle. I think they're all great. I they came on screen and I just went outside and went, I love these.
Yeah.
I love Otis. Yeah. I love Chad. I love Maxine. It's great. I am sad that the Maximum Male models are nowhere to be found. But I, what we're getting instead is great. Great stuff.
Yeah, Maxine walks off like, I've got something I can train in. And Chad and Otis there were just like looking in her direction like, yeah, it was good. I hope we get some proper vignettes.
Yeah.
Off, you know, on location, in the gym, on the track.
Best thing in the show.
Training Maxine.
Love it. Mm. And that's the Alpha Academy, isn't it?
Yeah,
there you go.
Good point. To pay off with your idea is very cool as well. Really good segment after that. Ms. TV.
Yep.
Can't believe. And Luke always says that Ms. TV is bad and hates Miz.
Thank God.
I just watch an episode of Raw and
Miz is great.
And this is, well, I actually don't like Miz at all, but this segment was really good.
I bring you into my house through the forbidden door, and all you can do is come after my guy like this. I'm a big Miz fan. Mm. And I think what Miz is able to do with something like Miz TV, I find these segments generally, not just limited to Miz TV, but the Waller Effect, all that stuff, they're a conceit I don't love, but they're here, so I'll go with them. And it's better than another backstage segment with Byron Saxton. Mm-hmm. Miz can literally get anything chanted. He got his own name chanted this week by saying, that's not my name. Do you know what I mean? He got Mike chanted. This segment was really, really fun. Go.
The guest was Cody Rhodes, and Miz started it off by saying, well, I've got a surprise for you.
Mm.
We've not got Brock Lesnar, because he's, I think Cody said his annual hibernation period.
Took a little dig in.
I think we won't see Brock in Money in the Bank. If we do, maybe he'll appear at the end of a match as an angle.
Yeah, Meltzer essentially reported that he'll be there at SummerSlam, and we'll get Cody Brock 3 at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I would have had Cody in the Money in the Bank match and have Brock taken out. Mm-hmm. That was how I get there.
Oh, we're getting something way better.
Mm.
So Miz has someone else to bring out for Cody, and it is another person who has the pressures of being from a wrestling dynasty.
Mm.
Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
And as soon as Miz said that, I was like, oh, you floored me a bit there.
Yeah.
And how, what a good idea this segment is. You're, in theory, top baby, top baby face with Cody, and then you've got your top heel, you know, most
the
vocally
one that gets the most
booed heel in Dom. And Dom comes down getting mega heat. You couldn't really hear him. It wasn't Don Callis heat from last week's Dynamite, but it was very, very loud. Called Cody a bad father. Mm. Because he's not at home with his daughter. Of course, Dom's projecting
that was
a bit
the same
there.
Thing, yeah.
And Cody has a couple of great lines saying, you've got a worse prison tattoo than me.
Yeah.
And
15 minutes of hard time.
Yeah. And Ray isn't perfect. He's made mistakes. Like the worst one, I'm looking at him.
Oh, I was like, you serve. That's great.
And then Cody sort of turns around. And then comes back round, and Dom just goes slap in his face and runs right behind Rhea Ripley.
And he had that grin. Oh, loved it.
So Cody just turns around because Dom and Rhea had walked off and just knocks out Miz because he's there.
I was so sports entertained by this segment.
This is very good.
I absolutely loved it. And I'll tell you why. And I could wax lyrical about this for a little while because this was so well put together. For the reasons that you have just said, not just the way it went down, but also your top heel, top baby face. I love the fact that when Dom was talking, both Cody and Miz were like, we can't hear you because the crowd is so big. Cody got a massive reaction as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's still over with the fans. Love to see it. What I loved about it was that there was an internal logic to it. And I always go on about internal logic in wrestling and how I just need, just do the basic stuff, please. I beg you. We had a bad example of it earlier on when Ronda Rousey was like, oh, you want a match? I'll tell it to Pierce. Then comes straight out to the ring. And then we come back from the break and Kevin Patrick goes, so during the break, Ronda Rousey spoke to Adam Pierce. I'm like, what? She left the arena, then came back. Like, stupid. Internal logic is so easy to do. And they did it in this, which was that they'd announced Cody was going to be on Miz TV. And I had the idea when it starts playing out and Dom comes out, oh, so Dom could have gone to Miz and gone, I've got some stuff to say to Cody Rhodes. Because yeah, his big trig, his trauma, is that his dad wasn't there for him. And last week, Cody Rhodes literally said, I'm going to be in this town. Come and fight me. He basically said on national television, I'm leaving my family. And so that's Dominic's big thing, and he hates it.
Mm-hmm.
So like quite justified to come out and say that, I think, which was really interesting. Then that beautiful little slap, the idea that you know, Cody's not going to punch Rhea, but he kind of wanted to because Rhea's given it some as well. Maybe we'll get a little Brandi Rhodes because she had something to say, didn't she?
Yeah, she had a tweet. Can I open it here? I've not got the transcription.
She said, like, was it Puppy's not going to hit Mommy or something?
Papa won't hit Mommy, but Mommy will. I guess she's the mommy.
Workshop it. She can workshop the promo for next week. But I loved the and you know what, Sodic, to close out this little piece of theatre, this sketch that we've written, I'm going to deck the Miz. I loved it. And the Miz, the other part of the internal logic is Miz trying to suck up to the Judgment Day. He's always trying to be in with the cool crowd. And currently, Rhea and Dom are the cool crowd, you know? So it all worked for me. Every ounce of this was really well thought out. Big fan, Cody Rhodes, big star. And I can't wait to watch this match. If you'd have told me when Cody was in AEW, one day you're going to get Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio and you're going to be excited for it, I'd have gone sod off. But I'm excited for it.
Well, I don't think we're getting that.
No? At all?
Well, I think we're getting Cody and Brandi versus Dom and Rhea.
I'd rather just watch Cody.
I know, so
Dom
would I.
Rathering a little bit.
I did, like, what's Rhea doing?
Being Rhea.
Yeah, but she's not got a title contender at the moment.
Oh, you mean what
she's
doing
in
the
bank?
Got you. Yeah. I mean, she doesn't need to defend it.
You can have Rhea in the ring with Cody. It just further elevates Rhea. Dom can take the pin.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Brett, that's how you bring Brandi in, which, you know, Cody's itching to do.
Expand the Codyverse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't want to see it.
I don't want it either, but yeah. I just, you know, I said in January, Karen Jarrett is going to appear in a Jeff Jarrett storyline.
Stop manifesting it.
And it happened. We got Zoe Stark taking on Natalya next. This was another Money in the Bank qualifying match. Natalya, she's there. And Zoe won.
This is the perfect use of Natalya, our crown jewel here on the Monday Night Raw brand, our mascot for our show. I thought it was a decent match. I love Zoe Stark, always do. I will say, so what did I write here? Basically tonight, I thought we saw some really decent wrestling from stars who are new or aren't always showcased. And I wonder if bringing back the Mae Young Classic or organizing tournaments or anything and then showcasing the more Raw might help. Because I felt the crowd really weren't popping for this because they don't know Zoe Stark yet, and Natalya is Natalya. So I feel like giving a small, it made me think Full Sail and the smaller crowd who were there regularly and did get the chance to buy into these people. I like that Zoe Stark is being put with Trish. I like that she's being pushed. I think she's showing a lot of promise. That move is great.
Yeah.
The Z360. I love it. I'm all into it. I wonder if we could have more tournament style stuff to give us opportunities to see them compete in a more sporting capacity. Get to know them, get to like them better, and then bring that to the main roster rather than just throwing them in at the deep end would be an interesting thing. But I like the match. And I'm glad that she's going to be in the Money in the Bank.
After that, we had Paul Heyman looking right down the lens. I love this promo.
Yeah.
Just saying, I invite you all to SmackDown where Jey Uso will make his choice to stand by his brother. And for a moment there, I legit forgot Solo existed. I was like, why is he saying that? He goes, Solo Sikoa. Like, okay, yeah. And acknowledge his tribal chief. So probably another great SmackDown soap opera episode.
Oh, no. What a shame.
And the last thing we'll talk about, because we've already covered the Priest Rollins main event, is Indus Shah versus Cedric and Sheldon. Match didn't even get started because Veer and, what's the other lad's name?
Shanga?
Beat Cedric and Shelton up before the match began, and the referee sort of called it off.
Yeah, it's a shame because I thought, I was like, oh, we're going to get an actual match out of these guys now. No, we weren't.
And Fear's always going to come.
Well, you know, he can't help it. He loves it. It's this thing of constant squashes doesn't work. Like one or two are okay, but at some point you've got to see what we've got to see what you've got. And I think we had a prime example of it recently with Bronson Reed, which was where came out, battered around a bit, didn't really have too much of a character, but then shows up in the Elimination Chamber and we go, oh, you know, I'm going to sit up and take notice.
Yeah.
A match here with Cedric and Shelton would have been really good. So I was a bit like, oh, that was disappointing. And once again, the Indus Shah experiment kind of isn't vibing.
And the last thing was Ripley was announced as WWE's most followed TikTok star. Oh,
love it.
And that's where they got a jab in at lovely old Tom Hanks.
Maybe that's Rhea's opponent for Money in the Bank. It's Rhea Tom Hanks.
I'd pay to see that. Or maybe Tom Hanks is the new Judgment Day member.
Could you
in his Elvis manager gimmick.
Colonel Tom Parker leads Judgment Day. Goodness gracious.
But yeah, do you want to hear my joke?
Please.
Always. I said, I've not written it down on this script. Ripley is WWE's most followed TikTok star. I know you have followers on TikTok, but maybe for Rhea, they should be called subs.
I'm upset that I laughed at that. And I'm going to move on now.
Do we have any Patreon shows?
Oh, I don't know.
My thing isn't logged in.
That's devastating. We probably do, you know.
Have a look.
We're very professional here on the Raw podcast. Yes, we absolutely do. Podcast shout outs. Oh, we're in a brand new month of June.
Yes.
Do the Patreon bit.
Well, Patreon is for WrestleTalk and Parts of Unknown. We've got loads of exclusive content over there. Dan and Pete just recorded the mailbag show.
We did.
Which is where we just answer your questions for an hour and a bit. We've got, if you saw on Parts of Unknown, we've got our new board game series there where we play board games with a wrestling twist.
No holds board.
Me and you were on the Wednesday's episode.
Drew a lovely picture of Yokozuna that lives in infamy.
Yeah, a very accurate, photorealistic portrait of Yokozuna, thank you. But we've got the full unedited versions of that. So I think the episode online was like 40 minutes, but the real one is like an hour and a bit.
Hefty stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exclusive podcasts, mine and Luke's WrestleTalk Extra Show, and shout outs on this very podcast. So go over to WrestleTalk, go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk to sign up there today. Thank you to the $100 man, CD Horver.
Well, it's Adam Rockwell.
The Kessel Run DX Solo.
Double L Liam Leonard.
Mad Mac, the Meat Father.
Have an argy bargy, margy pargy.
The Mat Man, Matthew Allen.
Ryan Disco Stewart.
Star Wars Wrestling.
Thomas, the prize hooker, Solitano.
The machine gun, Alex Anderson.
And the roller coaster, Robert Acosta.
Thank you very much for everybody over there. Please do go and join them. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk.
Get on board. hang on, let me call
for Natty Chats.
Well, we have our official poll. Do you want to hear that they picked it? Yeah. So we had a new Raw Ultra Chat name. Obviously, we have the UC Chats and the Omega Chats, and I was feeling left out. And I know Luke would be on my side in this, were he here. So we've picked between, your choice was the Natty Chats, Rawsome Chats, do you see? And Ultra Nats, and the winner with 39% of the vote was the Ultra Nats. So I am so thrilled to the Ultra Nats.
So it's quite close on all of them.
It is. It was a very split decision. So maybe we'll have another think about it. But for today, let's go through the rest of your Ultra Nats. A missing username, unfortunately, at Streamlabs has issues. So if we read out your chat, please do let our moderators know who you were and we can say thank you proper. But they say a Finn Balor versus Seth program would be a lot funner if Edge had put him over at WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, if Finn won loads more times, this would be a lot more interesting.
But that does feed into your idea of kicking him out of the old JD. Lewis Adorno says, hey guys, here from Hartford, Connecticut. Can't wait to meet you all at the watch party.
Thank you so much.
I was
over
at the show last night. Wow, what a big month for you. I was at the show last night, and after the show, Seth Rollins told Finn and Damian to shake the champ's hand.
Yes.
Finger, angry, and left. But Damian stayed and shook his hand. Oh, Finn got angry and left, but Damian stayed and shook his hand.
Yeah. Of course, it's stuff after the show went off air. We can't read too much into it. But yeah, definitely more babyface behavior from Priest.
Do you remember how Drew sang at the Clash of the Castle?
That was on air.
Sapphire says, in 1 year, which belt will we care more about after one belt being held for years like 1970s and another belt being handled like the 2000s?
The belt that is the longer reign. To be honest, the belt with the best storyline and the most over champion, which will be Roman.
And like you main evented the WrestleMania night one with the tag team titles because they had the best storyline. Yeah. Like any belt can be the belt that you care about if you do it right. Dylan Waldschmidt, fantasy booking, coding Dom qualifying match, Brock interferes and Dom wins. Mega heat for both of them. Also, yes, my suggestion is Mammy Chats for the true Raw star.
Mammy Chats Mammy isn't chats. Bad.
Yeah, we'll write that down.
I like that booking as well.
Yeah, that's a good, it's a good chat. It's a good way of getting involved.
And getting Dom into the...
Yes.
Like, it's a very undeserving spot.
Because you don't want him to clean win over Cody in any way, shape, or form.
And Dom can just boast about that all the time.
Yeah.
I beat Cody Rhodes.
There's your main event for WrestleMania 41. We've got it written down. Another missing username. Hot take to online fans. People saying someone should leave WWE and go to Japan or AEW is selfish and ignorant. Balor and Nak have re-signed a couple of... They look the same. The words are the same.
Nakamura has resigned himself to the rest.
Balor and Nakamura have re-signed a couple of times. If they wanted to leave, they would have. Enjoy people where they are, or don't say you're a fan. I know. Oh, follow on. I think wrestlers have families and people who rely on them, and wanting them to risk that because you don't like how they're being used is insane. I do think the idea of someone being told, like, you know, oh, you should go here, is an interesting one, because how many stars have we seen go from WWE to AEW, get an incredibly big opening pop, and then kind of do nothing, you know?
But yeah, I think the larger thing is, though, someone has settled, and you believe that person is better than what they've settled for.
Right.
So try something and move elsewhere. If they choose not to, and that's because of other circumstances, that's their prerogative. But for me as a fan and someone who enjoyed their other work, I think I'm totally entitled, say, Chad Gable should go to AEW, for instance.
Seeing Bryan Danielson talk about it, he was very complimentary and grateful for his time in WWE, and then was just like, look, I wanted a different thing, you know, which is, and I think that's the point. It's like, if they're happy in what they're doing at the moment, and they are genuinely happy, they're not just like, well, it's easy money, I'll do that, whatever, then kind of their prerogative. But like you know, we all want to see some banging matches, and I would, it's more on the bookers to get it right, isn't it?
But it's also the wrestlers do have to take responsibility.
Yes.
There is a path trodden where Cody left WWE, where Drew was released, and they turned themselves into huge stars outside of WWE at a time when AEW wasn't around. Cody launched AEW off the back of all the hard work he did. So I do respectfully disagree with missing username.
I think that's fair. We have one more chat with the final poll. How do we check that? Luke does the checking and I don't. Can you just close the poll and then you tell us?
Doesn't it Mod Mother just make it appear?
Just pop it in the little thingy here. In the meantime, the adults are in the room. Frankenfoot says, wife and I are planning on coming to the UK anyway to celebrate my being able to walk again and medical retirement from the US Navy.
Oh, congratulations.
Love to be part of that celebration. Thanks for coming to the UK. Bought watch party tickets last Friday, so can't wait to meet you all.
What? That would be great to meet you.
Yeah.
I just assumed people would be coming. People who were coming from America or Australia would be going to watch the actual show, not our watch-along party.
They are coming to watch the actual show. Thank you very much.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Question, can I set up a side Smash Bros. Tournament, WrestleTalk rules? Good luck with that. you'll find yourself a lot more occupied than you think you will.
Yeah.
Also a note from Datsun, the watch party is sold out.
Oh, there it is. The watch party is sold out.
Packed to the rafters.
What's that? 4 days on full sale?
Yeah.
Full Sale University.
Hello, Full Sale Bar. Maybe that's one of the titles of the...
We sold out. Woohoo. Yeah.
Go team.
Great.
We have the results of the final poll, which is 2% thumbs down, 26% mid, and the overall Raw rating for the majority of you was a 71% big thumbs up.
Good. Well, yeah. I thought it was a very good show.
I agree. 4-star rating for Raw for me this week. I was a big fan. You were...
I gave it 79%. 79%. Which is actually 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
But that's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much. I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Dan Layton. Jam that jam.
Now I have to press the button.
Press the button.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.